Are you a mum looking for some parenting inspiration, tips and advice, stories on the ups and downs we face in our lives as parents, some humour and a little bit of fun? Then you may have just found what you're looking for. Hi and welcome to the Parenting in the Thick of It show. I'm your host Louise Clark, a certified parent coach known to many as your parenting partner. As a mum to three teenagers, you can bet I've probably been there, done that, and heard it all. Trust me, there'll be few things that I haven't experienced firsthand. I created this podcast because I just love to help mums like you find ways to navigate life in the thick of it and find a way out of it. Today on the show, I want to talk about the dreaded H word. By H, I mean homework. It leaves us at a point in our lives where sometimes we just don't know what we can say or do. We enter conversations with our kids about their homework and the kids don't want to listen to us. They don't want to take our advice. And we're kind of left up a creek without a paddle. And it's a very real challenge for many, many parents, myself included. It used to be. It is no longer a challenge in my life with my kids because I have found a way that works for me and them. And you have to find a way that works for you and your kids. And when I say kids, if you've one, you find a way that works with that one. If you've two, you might have to find two different ways. If you've three, you might have to find three different ways. I have three different ways of entering a conversation with each of my kids, because if I pick the wrong path for one child, it goes nowhere. It just ends up in conflict, us arguing, doors being shut, and the connection being severed. So how do we manage the whole subject of homework? And the older our kids get, as they enter their later teen years, they don't want us hanging over their every move. They don't want us overmanaging and overseeing and checking on things. And the more we continue to check on them, look over their shoulder, ask them 20 questions about their homework, what it does to them is not only piss them off, but it actually makes them feel that we don't trust them to do it. And it makes them feel that we're not trusting that they'll do a good enough job of it. And what is good enough anyway? I had this conversation with a couple I'm coaching this morning about this very thing. According to who is it good enough? According to who is the effort? You know, who determines the effort? We were talking about how we can expect things of our kids. And parents say to me, not the couple I was working with, but many parents say, but the least I can do is expect effort. The least I can do is expect their best. And my question is, so what is enough effort? What is their best? And who determines that? Is it you or your kid? And trust me, if it's you, they know exactly what you are expecting of them, and it puts a huge amount of pressure on them. So the whole subject of expectations, especially around homework, is something you need to really do the inner work for. You need to sit down and actually ask yourself, who am I to expect this of my child? This is my agenda. This is what I want for them. The question to ask is, what do we want them to want for themselves? Because if they expect things of themselves, then they can do it or not. The choice is theirs. If we expect things for them, the choice is not ours. We're expecting something of our child where they are in full control of it and we're not. So if they don't do what we expect, it's us who suffer. Yes, in the long term, if they don't do their homework, then they will suffer. But we have to ease that suffering. We have to be compassionate if and when we enter that space where they haven't done it and they're facing the consequences of their actions. If we come at them with a told you so, I told you you should have put more effort into it, how do you expect to do well in your test when you don't do any prep work? When we go down that path, it goes nowhere. So, you know, I asked this couple, so, you know, they said to me, what do I suggest they do about helping them manage and kind of know what's going on with their teenager's homework? And, you know, I said to them, what can you do? And basically, we have three choices. We can say nothing and ignore the whole subject of homework, which can make our kids feel like we're completely disinterested and really don't care, which is not the case. We can nag and fall out over it and have expectations, usually lofty ones. We can put a tremendous amount of pressure on them and cause a lot of conflict, disconnect, and fracture the relationship we have with them. So we have those two choices, or we have this third choice, which is the one I've taken, which is I want my kids to know that I know that there's homework, but I don't want to ask them if there's homework. So if you don't know what the homework is and you suspect they're not doing the homework, my advice to you is reach out to the homeroom teacher or the counselor and just express your concerns with them and ask them if they've noticed anything. You know, if we can put it onto the teachers and facilitate the relationship between the teacher and the child, then we stay out of it. And then we can support that relationship and we can support our kid in it, depending on what the actual present moment is, what the reality is. So I do think that if you really are concerned, reach out to the teacher first. What we want to avoid, or what I have learned to avoid and steer clear of, is 20 questions around homework. You know, they might say, I've got a math test, I'm dreading it, it's on Friday, and it's Tuesday, and they're not doing any work, and Wednesday, and you've not seen them do any work, and Thursday at 9 p.m. they pull out their homework or this study prep, and they start cramming, and they're in a bad mood, they're frustrated, they're rude to you, and you know fine well it's because they're now panicking at the fact they've left it to the 10th hour to do the prep for the test. So we have to be their punching bag, we have to be their sounding block, we have to not take their behavior personally in the moment. And when they go off to school and do their test, the one thing I recommend you don't do is the minute you see them when they come home is ask them how the test went. Leave it. See what mood they're in. If they come in and they're rude, chances are the test didn't go so well. They come in and they're like singing and springing their step, don't ask them how the test was. Wait. Delay gratification. Tolerate the frustration of not knowing. Tolerate the feeling of being uncomfortable not knowing, because we want to know how they did in the test. And at a later time, I always kind of leave it for a couple of days. I'm dying to ask. I don't ask. And a day or so later, I might go, you know what? I just realized, did you not have a big math test on Friday? I completely forgot to ask you. And they'll go, yeah. And I'll go, well, how did it go? And they might go, terrible. I'm like, oh, I meet them in the terribleness. If they go, it was just fine, I meet them in the fine. I might ask, I ask questions to try and get context as to how terrible and how fine. But I don't go for the end result. I don't ask them, what mark did you get? I delay asking that for as long as I can. Sometimes I don't. Here's the deal. When we go for the kill and cut to the chase and go for the end result, as in we want to know what they got, it kills the connection and the opportunity to communicate and subsequently lead them and influence them. If we just ask for the end result, what does that mean? I'm asking you, what does it mean? They could say they got 90% and be totally miserable because they know everyone else got 99%. And they say 90% to us and we think, woof, that's great. Is it? They could say they got 55 and we jump into the panic and go, oh my God, you need an A to get to this, to get to that. If you don't get an A, we go into that mode. Meanwhile, 55 might have been top of the class. So we have to ask for more than just the end result. So with regard to finding out about their homework and inquiring about homework, it's almost like, how do you ask the question without asking? How do you steer the conversation towards getting the answers you need without asking them the direct question? So what I recommend you do, and this sentence is absolutely key. If you're at a place where you can write this down, I would suggest you write it down because this will help you navigate more than just the homework questions. This is what I have become really good at in my life, in my role as a parent. Here's what the million-dollar statement is. You have to ask a question to enter the conversation rather than asking the question to get the answer or the end result. I'll say that again. Ask a question to enter the conversation rather than asking the question to get the answer or end result. What we typically do is we go straight in and immediately, as soon as we see them, to ask the question to get the end result because we just want the end result. But when we do that, we miss the journey, we miss the process, we miss how they're feeling, we miss the whole thing. And actually, it's all that meat in between what they did to get it and getting it. We want to navigate the conversation to the meat. So it's all in context. Because then the end result will be more meaningful to us. We'll get a deeper understanding of where they are, what they're doing. Are they content? Where are they in the context of their class? Where are they in the context of what they might need as an end result? Especially as they get into grade 11, grade 12, the last 2 years of their schooling. So by just going to the end result and asking the direct question, it kills the connection we have with them. It kills the communication. Put yourself in their shoes. For years, we have asked, how did you do? Even from spelling. You imagine when they were little and they went off to school aged 8 with their little 10 words and we'd been doing them the night before. And the minute they get home, we say, how did you do in your spelling test? They know we just want the end result. So it's come all their life. And as they get older, they get pissed off with us wanting the end result because sometimes the end result isn't what they want and they are absolutely 100% sure that they know exactly the end result we want. They know it. They know what we want of them. They know what we expect of them. So rather than expect, could I ask you to entertain the whole context of hope and trust versus expectation? Can you enter the context of encouragement? Because encouragement is to put the courage in. When our kids feel courageous, when they've had a win in one area and they've done something and they feel good about themselves, maybe in math, that feel-good factor will leak into socials. It'll leak into volleyball, leak into baseball. If they score if they do well in the baseball game, the courage they get from that, the intrinsic motivation from what they put in and how they feel is in them. The courage is there. It's going to leak into the English test the next day or leak into their doing their English homework that night. So find the wins. And I started with the subject of homework and I seem to have digressed, but I haven't actually. Because when we broach the subject of homework, we have to take our foot off the gas. We have to look at how can we encourage them? How can we inspire them? How can we give them hope? How can we give them the courage to trust themselves to be able to handle whatever comes their way? The way in which we typically show up is often not the right way. And we know this because of the conflict that is created around the whole subject of homework. If we entered these conversations the quote-unquote right way, there wouldn't be conflict. There wouldn't be conflict. We have to ask, why is there conflict? We're very quick to point the finger of blame at our child for not doing enough work, for not putting effort in, for not being organized, for being on their phones and not doing their homework. We have to step right out of that that spotlight and into a different one, into one where we show up differently. We show up changed. We show up in a way that will help them feel safe and vulnerable to share their worries, their concerns, to share their mistakes, to share the fact they know fine well they're not organized and they left something at school and therefore they couldn't do their homework. So we need to really look at how we are showing up, how we show up in the face of homework. So that one thing to navigate conversations around anything, it might be you want to find out more about the party. You can't just go in and say, so who was drunk? Who was driving? You have to go in right round the side of the house, find a shaft of a sliver of light, a tiny crack in the door, and enter that way. Get side by side, embody their experience. Ask them all the other things, but not the question you want the answer to. Ask questions to enter the conversation, because when you enter the conversation, you can communicate. And when you communicate, they open up. When you're curious, they will share. So we enter the conversation rather than asking the question to get the answer or the end result. So I hope you've enjoyed this. If you have, share it with your friends. There are so many parents struggling with homework. And if you practice just this and you're there for your kids, not permissive to them, it's not acceptable to not do the homework. They need to know that. But how you say it, the energy and tone you bring to the conversation will change the conversation. Nagging and entering, dialing into the drama won't help either. So I believe the only choice I have is to enter the conversation in a different way. Open it up and see what happens. It's magical when it does. And when we don't take any of their stuff personally, it really helps us stay present and be able to remain compassionate in the face of their fear. They're probably fearful about it. They question whether they can do it, whether they're good enough, whether they'll pass. And here we are just saying, how did you do? Did you meet the thing? Go easy on them. And hopefully this will help you connect, form a deeper connection with your child and be able to support them as they need us to support us. So thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you all soon. Bye for now. That's it for today's episode on the Parenting in the Thick of It show. If you enjoyed the show, please do share it with your friends and family. And remember, if you find yourself stuck in the thick of it and can't see a way out of it, please send me an email. I would love to help you. My email is louise@yourparentingpartner.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Parenting in the Thick of It family organizer that I created. It's an evergreen family calendar guaranteeing 12 months of use from whenever you start. It also includes beautifully illustrated, informative, and interactive monthly parenting theme pages to guide you through the year. It's the perfect organizer for busy families to keep track of all their activities, plus help parents be the best parent they can be. It's more than just a calendar. You can find the link for this and the other social media platforms that I am on below the description in this episode. Thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to being with you all soon. Bye for now.